Track 7, London Landmarks. Our London landmark this time is described by Shami Chakrabarty, who was Director of Liberty, but is now a life peer in the House of Lords. Here she is to tell us about Hampstead Heath and the view from Parliament Hill.
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London so. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I think of her wherever I go.
I'm Shami Chakrabarty, the Director of Liberty, the National Council for Civil Liberties. I chose Hampstead Heath in memory of my mum, who passed away last summer. When she and my dad first came to London in the late 1950s, they lived in a bedsit in Belsize Park, and they became very fond of the Heath. My parents walked quite a lot. They loved Parliament Hill, Golders Hill Park and Kenwood. They later moved away, but we often went back to the Heath. There was a fair every summer, and we'd go for picnics and walks. Hampstead Heath is a little bit of countryside in a major capital city, and that's quite rare. It doesn't feel like a manicured park. The grass is rough farm grass. In fact, cattle grazed here until the 1930s, and it's left unmown, crisscrossed with footpaths. The Heath is huge. There are 800 acres of open space and quite varied. You can lose yourself and feel as if you're in the countryside. And then you can look up and see this massive sprawling metropolis just above the trees. It's the contrast that's so unusual. Man and nature, development and unspoiled land so close together. The highest point of Hampstead Heath, and one of the highest points in London at 98 metres, is Parliament Hill. It got its name in the 17th century because during the English Civil War it was defended by troops loyal to the English Parliament. The easiest way to get up to Parliament Hill is to turn right out of Hampstead Heath rail station and go up Southend Road, which becomes a road called Parliament Hill. The road curves gently up, first to the right and then to the left, and finally comes to a stop facing the Heath itself. Here, paving stones give way to tarmac. A path continues in the same direction as the road, heading gently uphill. After about 60 paces, there's a path to the right which climbs more steeply to the crest of the hill. A dozen wooden benches are dotted around the summit. Parliament Hill gives you breathtaking views of London. It's very sociable. There are people walking dogs or flying kites, families with small children, groups of students having picnics. There always seem to be lots of people bringing visitors up here to give them an overview of the city. On the right-hand side of the path, facing the view to the south, there's a metal information board which identifies landmarks. It was put there in 1984, so it's not entirely up to date, but it's a great place to eavesdrop on other people acting as informal tourist guides and to pick up snippets of interesting information about London. Facing south, the hill slopes away rapidly from the summit. A fringe of trees parts to show the densely packed buildings of the city, with the smooth mass of the Surrey Hills rising behind on the horizon. The highest building by far, protruding well above the horizon, is the Shard, south of the river in London Bridge. It's a narrow triangle, slimmer than a sharpened pencil tip, and it's entirely clad in glass. So at dawn and dusk, it reflects the sun in dazzling flashes. The Shard is 310 metres high and will be the tallest building in Western Europe when it's completed in mid-2012. Directly in front of the Shard is the white dome of St Paul's Cathedral, which seems to be level with the hills beyond. Standing here, we're actually about 3 metres higher than the gilded cross on the top of the dome. Moving eastwards to the left of St Paul's, one of the highest of the office blocks in the financial area of the city is the Gherkin, with its curved silhouette like a bombshell or indeed a pickled gherkin. The building is officially named after its address, 30 St Mary Axe, and it's covered with interlocked triangles of glass which fit around it like a snakeskin. Further east are the Towers of Docklands. Canary Wharf was the highest building in London when it was built in 1991, and the chunky tower with a pyramid on top is still visible from all over London. But now it's surrounded by a cluster of other office blocks that are nearly as tall. tucked behind it is a white tent that seems from here to be held up by orange cocktail sticks, the O2, the former Millennium Dome at Greenwich, while further east, at the Olympic Park in Stratford, the Anish Kapoor sculpture Orbit is a tangle of red metal struts. Moving westwards from the Shard to the right, the white hoop of the London Eye soars over the surrounding buildings. This giant Ferris wheel is 135 metres tall. Modelled on a bicycle wheel, it spins on an axle planted next to the Thames. A little further west along the river, just sticking up over the horizon, is the Strata building. It's a block of flats at Elephant and Castle, nicknamed the Razor because of its unusual shape, a squashed cylinder with three circles punched out from the angled top. They contain wind turbines. On the horizon to the southwest, there's the slender metal stalk of the Crystal Palace antenna, the main television transmitter for London, sometimes jokingly called the little brother of the Eiffel Tower. Continuing westwards, the BT Tower rises above the roofs of Bloomsbury, a thin column with a wider barrel shape at the top. Just to the right of it, but much nearer to us, in Camden Town, there's the circular roof of the Roundhouse. Built in 1846 as a repair shed for steam engines, it's now a theatre. Rising above the horizon, further to the right, another tower is under construction. The Sky Gardens at Vauxhall will be 130 metres tall when it's finished, incorporating 2,500 square metres of communal gardens. Standing on Parliament Hill reminds me how high up you are on Hampstead Heath. The panorama has changed quite a bit from when I was a child. You could see St Paul's and the BT Tower, but there was no London Eye, no Gherkin. I've lived in London all my life. In fact, I was born right next to the Heath in Queen Mary's maternity home on Heath Street. The hospital closed in 1975, but the building's still there. My mum always spoke of Queen Mary's quite fondly. It must have been quite a small place with just 30 or so beds. And there were views from the wards of the Heath and the ponds. So Hampstead Heath has really been part of my life from the very beginning.
Thank you to Shami for that. It's good to think that big cities like London still have green open spaces where people can take exercise and relax. Norwich is well served for parks and gardens as well, isn't it? Perhaps we'll do a feature on those sometime soon.